Okay.
Welcome to episode 62 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. I'm back in the saddle again, back here high atop Billy's Jungle Palace of Love, and I'm loving it. And still a little bit, tired about things, but I do love this podcast, and I love doing it, so it's good to be here. All right, y'all. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrows.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, EMP Shield, $50 off. Check out that new micro, y'all. And in light of the stuff going on in the news today, yeah, we'll cover it briefly. You might want to think about it. You know, hey, son, people have criticized, said, well, what am I going to do if, there's an EMP? Look, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get home.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you
and start up to a generator to a house where all the electronics still work,
yeah,
because they're not fried.
Yeah, I mean, if you wonder why I reached out to EMP Shield and asked them to be a sponsor, well, now you know why. But if you want $50 off, especially on that new micro, just put in promo code PERMA, PERMA, and get yourself hooked up. No, it ain't cheap, but nothing worth having is. Harvest Right freeze dryers. We also got a link down below. If you need one, by all means, reach out and get one. It helps us. Check us out on the Fountain app. Also, you can listen to all your podcasts over there where you can tip a pimp.
Yeah, and I think they've been listening because I think somebody from Fountain has been listening because I complained about that. The past two podcasts, I complained about how they like reformatted their app and they fixed it.
Really?
Yeah, they fixed it. I can easily find those comments now again.
Oh, man, that's cool. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, yet another reason, you know. And if you want to, you can tip us in some Bitcoin, whatever you feel like. You don't have to. And you can also leave comments over there. We address them on the show. All right, y'all, tip of the day. I'm not going to play around. I'm going to get right into it. Don't fly. Don't fly if you can possibly drive. I'm telling you what, man. Son, on the way there and on the way back, but I didn't even tell you this one. I told your mom. Now, you see this notebook I'm holding right now.
Yeah.
All the notebooks, I carry two notebooks with me. One has to do with show notes and, you know, notes I make or whatever. The other notebook is my list, my daily list, my power list. And as I'm going through there on the way coming back this time, man, I just can't even believe the behavior of some of these folks. So I didn't know I'm supposed to take the iPad out of my thing. They had us like, go over here, now go over here, go over here, and go over there. Everybody was absolutely confused. And as I'm going through, the guy says, so do you have something in your pockets? I'm like, well, yeah, I got this toothpick holder and I got some chapstick. All right, well, put that in there too. And I'm like, okay. And I'm just so aggravated that they're making me go through this. I'm taking off my shoes. Meanwhile, it brought me right back as I'm going through there. I didn't say anything to the TSA people, but it reminded me coming back from your wedding. What did I fly home with, son, in my suitcase that was carried on? Do you remember? Because we still got
I'm assuming a few things, but
barbecue beef jerky? Sauce. Yeah, that too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got
barbecue sauce and beef jerky.
I had a gallon of barbecue sauce in my check-in bag, you know, the ones you check on.
Yeah.
A gallon of barbecue sauce. That wasn't a problem. And then what people don't realize is that, well, what is it? 98% of the luggage that goes on underneath, they don't even check, but they're going to make you take your shoes off. Come on, man. This is theater and it just burns me up to no end. And if you knew everything about that shoe bomber from Kurt, I can't remember his last name. He was a lawyer on the plane that blew the whole story wide open, showing the whole thing was a doggone hoax. This guy, I go through. So anyway, I finally get through the TSA thing, right? So I'm always looking at my notes and I'm making notes. I'm a constant note taker. And on my power list, you know, while I'm in this airport, I'm thinking, okay, well, I got a little bit before my flight. I'll go ahead and do some of the things I got on there. And I go and look for the sheet so I can mark it off and I can't find it. Can't find it at all. And I'm like, because I know that it was face up when I went through there.
Yeah.
Somehow these jerk TSA people, and I didn't know this until I got home last night. What did we get back? About close to midnight, I guess?
About 11.
About 11, yeah. It was about 11 we got back. And I'm like, dude, it is driving me crazy as I'm in this airport because I know for a fact I wrote this list up.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in there waiting, can't find it. And I'm like, man, I must be losing my mind. I get home today, come to find out that in the bottom of my backpack, it was torn out of the notebook, crumbled up, and put in the very bottom of it.
What?
Yes, I showed your mom.
All right. TSA agents are forever banned from Hickory Ridge soap. You can never be a pimp.
Bam.
All TSA agents. That one screwed it up for everybody.
Everybody. Man, that thing just burned me up to no end. And then you're getting in there. There's this one guy. Good night, man. They put him through the ringer. I'm like, okay, man, I am never going to fly again if I can possibly drive. That's my tip of the day.
When Emily and I flew back from Texarkana to, what was it? Like to, I can't remember where, Dallas. When we were flying out of Texarkana, the lady working the front desk is also the one checking you in whenever you like checking your boarding pass and stuff like that. We get there probably 30 to 45 minutes early. Like there's only one hangar at this airport, y'all. You can see which plane you're getting on. Like when you pull up, you know which one it is. And the lady was complaining that we didn't get there earlier for our one, like the only plane leaving into out of Texarkana. We didn't get there earlier because she complained that we didn't get there earlier to check in so she could then go board everybody. Instead, she had to come back, check us in, and then had an attitude the whole time and then put Emily through the ringer. She had to, I don't know, she had to get pat down by the woman. Like, flying out of Texarkana.
I mean, come on, man. This is totally, it's theater. The whole thing is theater, and we'll cover more of it. Look, y'all, if you have an option to drive, I honestly don't know how Joel Salatin does it, man. He's always on a plane somewhere. I mean, I guess he's got a longer fuse than I do, man. But
that's for sure.
Well, in light of, yeah, that's a fact. That's for sure. Yeah, I mean, well, I will say this. I don't foresee myself getting on a plane anytime in the near future. We'll cover more about that in a little bit, y'all. All right, so here I am finally back home. And still, you know, when you're gone for almost 3 weeks, well, there's going to be an adjustment period coming back. I mean, everybody here did, you know, they performed beautifully. Everything's awesome. And I couldn't be more proud of you, son. You did a good job. And I'm proud of you also for your 75 hard. You're what, 14 days in?
Yeah, don't be proud yet. I'm not done. I'm only 2 weeks in.
Well, you know, you're doing more than most. And the conversation we had earlier about, and I think, honestly, son, that really deserves its own podcast, the discussion we had earlier, me, you, and your mom, about why you felt the need to do this. So I think it's going to be just like I didn't want to do that episode of mine a while back.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. You volunteered to do that episode.
I'm getting volunteered. No, I think that would be very helpful to a lot of people as to why you felt the need to do that. And, you know, I'm proud of you for giving it a, you know, not giving it a shot, but, you know, taking this thing for a serious test run. Well, okay, so I'm back. So the actual project ends on Friday. Imagine the Earthship people are going to be there till Saturday. There's a part of me wishing that I would have seen it through, but I needed to get back for a whole variety of reasons. But I got to say, man, I made a pretty good bargain with what I decided to do there, so I couldn't be there. But my tool buddy there, her name is Miracle. If you watch any of the YouTube channels, you've almost certainly seen her. I asked her if she would do me a big favor and take notes. So I gave her the tape measure I bought while I was there. I gave her the 2 foot level I was there. She asked me to autograph the tape measure. How about that? I mean, like I'm anybody, you know? And so
Or like it's going to stay.
Well,
on any tape measure, it's going to get worn off.
Well, she's also an artist. I mean, she's a consummate artist, and I'd be real curious to what she's going to, I really want to keep up with a lot of these folks, and I'm sure she's going to do big things. She's a selfless person. Her grandmother watches us on YouTube. Wow. And, you know, so anyway, she's back there taking, I asked her, hey, would you do me a big favor and take pictures of everything? Take videos. I'll pay you. She didn't want to take the money and I insisted on it. And she just really didn't want to do it. And I got to say, man, she is absolutely, it is almost like I'm there on the project.
That's good. Yeah. Your phone keeps buzzing and stuff like that. Yeah. When you had it on the filing cabinet, I heard it going off constantly.
Yeah, constantly. All day long, man. She's sending me pictures, videos, every single thing that's going on. And shoot, we may want to hire her for real one of these days, man. So yeah, Miracle, get out of the desert. Come check out this place up in the mountains. You're a blessing, and so many of the people there were also blessings as well. So it was kind of bittersweet, and I got to say, it was really awesome to know And we're going to get more into this in the main topic, but it was really awesome to know that when I left, there were, you know, the movers and shakers there were sad to see me go. So I'm glad I made a hand for them. And we'll talk more about that.
Well, I'm glad you didn't age any, because the desert has a way of aging people.
Oh, my goodness, man. There's a lot of people that have pruned up out there, man. I mean,
yeah,
it is a dry, dry place. And like Joel Salatin once told me when we were talking that time, or no, you weren't there. It was actually an email exchange he and I were having. And he was telling me every time he gets back from a trip, he can't quit drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been exactly the same way. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I've stayed as hydrated as a person could possibly be out there, but every single day you leave dehydrated.
Oh, so I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why he didn't. He can't stop drinking water because he's never peed on a plane.
Yeah,
that's why. Because he's never peed. He's flown to Australia multiple times and has never peed on a plane.
Well, Joel, tell him. Well, we'll give you the whole story. We were sitting down at dinner one time with Joel. And I mean, any time you get a chance to just sit at a table with him, man, you just drink it all in because he's so wise and kind and gracious and everything else. And he's sitting there telling us of all the things he's never done. I asked him if he had any regrets. And he said, no, I got a list of things I've never done, though. And then when he's listing this stuff off, like he's never gone to the bathroom on a plane.
Was it coffee, too? He's never had coffee?
Never had coffee. Never went to the bathroom. And he flew to Australia. And has never peed on a plane.
And keep in mind, there's a flight back.
Yeah.
it's never, not just one and done.
He never bought anything in another country, which isn't shocking. He's a pretty frugal guy. But, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, good night, man. I cannot get it. And I got this lingering headache, and I don't know why. And I'm like, dude, I just can't get enough water. This is driving me nuts. So, anyway, Joel, hat tip to you out there. Probably got to get you on the Pimp Cast one of these days. And then on my end of things around here, as far as in the farm news, I'm still playing catch up. There's like so many different directions, so many things going on, and we've tactically changed a number of things, and we're going to talk about those in the future as to what we're doing on the farm and why we're doing it this way. Some of it is going to, believe it or not, have to do with some of what we talk about in some of the news section here. And it was already before any of this news came out. And remember, we're not gonna, you know, bombard you with bad news or anything like that. But we are. Remember, I wear that shirt that says permaculture preparedness, right? Well, there's a reason for that. I mean, man, I can't think of a time where we need that more. So we're making tactical changes in so many different ways in every direction we're going. Now, I'm not gonna sit here and live like, you know, missiles are flying or anything like that, but There are reasons to be concerned about a great many things out there. Also, you know, another thing I'm doing is saying, not only with this plane experience, but a lot of people have hit me up as of late about speaking engagements, and the answer has universally been no. In fact, I'm going to cancel one more probably later this evening. And there's a reason for that, too. We're making a bunch of different changes around here, and we're hoping it's going to be inspirational to a number of people out there. You know, all of the YouTube channels are being suppressed. If you're not playing the fear game, you are being suppressed. And the reason why they don't mind the fear-mongering YouTubers, Danny from Deep South was talking about those not long ago. The reason why they don't mind it is because they know fearful people make stupid decisions.
Here's a statistic that shows up on our analytics right now that will show that they are heavily suppressing a lot of the channels that are not fear-mongering. Our views on YouTube have increased by 60,000. That is by that number is 60,000 brand new people that have never seen our channel before have now seen like an episode or a video or something like that from us. And we are negative. Like, we lost subscribers that day.
Yeah.
We lost subscribers when we had a 60,000 view bump. The same day we lost subscribers. That is an impossibility. You mean, like, for that to have happened, the new 60,000 people must have known somebody that, like, watched our channel, told them to unsubscribe, and then that's what would have had to have happened.
Yeah, it is an impossibility. In fact, I was on the phone yesterday. Well, I better not say who, because if I said his name right here in his podcast, I'm not name dropping because I'm not saying his name, but I had about a two-hour conversation on the way to the airport. He's noticing the same thing there. They're doing real stuff. They're doing real things. And at their homestead, they're realizing, okay, man, he told me, if I remember correctly, that March typically was a, you know, was a slower, the first quarter is usually kind of slow for advertising revenue.
Yeah.
But if I recall what he said correctly, I think he said they were down like 30%. And like I said, y'all, if you knew who this guy was, he's a friend of mine. If you knew who he was, believe me, you'd say, wow. And they have a loyal subscriber base, probably more loyal than anybody else out there. And you're not going to tell me at a time when Joel Salatin is doing keynote speeches about, yeah, quote, the homesteading tsunami going on right now. And I've had private conversations with Joel as to why all this stuff is happening. Yeah, fearful people make bad decisions. So, yeah, they're going to promote the fear-mongering. The people out there, do these five things or you're going to die. Or, you know, some of these others that started off as good, you know, good in terms of homesteading, and then all of a sudden they've gotten into this realm and their numbers are going through the roof. Well, like I said to this friend of mine on the phone yesterday, ain't happening here, Jack. I'll be out there pushing a broom at a Walmart before that ever happens. I am not going to engage in that kind of garbage.
You said that the first quarter is when they pay the least, right, on ad revenue?
Yeah.
That's funny because we've only had viral videos in the first quarter.
Ain't that something?
Yeah. We've only had videos go viral in the first quarter.
How about that?
Yep. So, like right at the, either like right in the middle of it or right at the end of it.
Well, here's what I'm trying to get at. Here's the point we're making in all of this. I'm not complaining about the number of subscribers we have or don't have, because honestly, I couldn't be happier, not only on the podcast, but also on the YouTube channel, because honestly, I know the people that are there because I've already run off all the people that are going to be offended, easily offended and all that kind of stuff. So I know the people right there we already have a great deal in common with. And every time I go to these homestead festivals, there's almost no introduction required. The only problem on my end is feeling like you shortchange so many people because you just can't say hi to everybody. And I feel like they feel the same way as well. No, I'm not at all complaining about that. I'm just telling you folks, there is a reason. This is the calm before the storm. And I'm not trying to make you fearful. If you'll notice every single thing as of late that we've been doing, I don't know, over the past 4 or 5 months, maybe, there's always been a preparedness component involved.
Yeah, there has. And you were talking about fear earlier, that fearful people make bad decisions. In that Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, which I'm almost done with, by the way, the thing he addresses the most in the book is dealing with fear and making decisions out of fear and fearful people. That is the thing he addresses the most, is fear.
See, yeah, I love that book and I recommend everybody read it, and also Cashflow Quadrant. When it comes to money and fear, your mom and I have never been fearful on that sort of thing because, you know, at the end of the day, it was like worst come to worst, man. I know how to get food. I know how to grow food one way or another. I don't care. So I'll take some risks, and I've taken a lot of risks on some people out there. And Danny from Deep South, while I was still out in Arizona, he and I had a pretty long conversation, man. I got a schooling, man, on so many things that were going on with Mount Graham, but that's a whole nother thing altogether.
Coming up, though.
Yeah, we'll be talking to Joel Thomas from Kill the Mockingbirds about to kind of unravel some of that stuff. And I'm going to see if I can't reach out to Danny and maybe to some extent see if I can get him to talk more, because he knows a lot about things that folks, he just can't talk about, or he doesn't talk about on YouTube. But when I'm telling him what's happening at Mount Graham, dude, he's telling me the other half that I didn't know. So I'm sitting here thinking I'm telling him something. I'm trying to get some advice here. And then he puts me in a whole new direction. So, yeah, the point being, going to kind of close that one off, son, the point that I'm really getting at here is that the powers that shouldn't be don't want you to be self-sufficient. They don't – fearful people don't go out and make good decisions with their neighbors. Fearful people do not question the powers that shouldn't be. They take orders from them. That's exactly what they want. That's what they want. They don't want you asking critical questions to the powers that shouldn't be. So it's better to go ahead and promote those people who aren't giving you any real knowledge. But I am thankful. I am thankful. Thankful so much for all you wonderful folks out there who are doing some wonderful things, reaching out to us, giving, you know, votes of encouragement. You know, esoteric topics in the past, son, that would have had people turning the channel, like talking about chemtrails and what's happened on Mount Graham out there.
Yep.
That would have gotten people to turn the channel, but man, they were really, really interested. And I think, like I said before, the days of darkness have a way of making you see the light. And everybody can see it's getting dimmer and dimmer, son. At a Circle K for bargain basement eggs out there was $11.
I believe it. Yeah. You can't, well, that, hey, that's a better price than what you can find here. You can't find eggs here.
Yeah. And then check this out. On the plane, I almost forgot. On the way back from the plane, they're saying, okay, we're about to do our service through the cabin. Just want to tell you folks that if you want coffee, we don't have any creamer.
Wow.
And you're telling me you can't find cream in the store now either.
Well, yeah, it was a heavy whipping cream.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Well, that was, yeah. Couldn't find that. I can't find like decent milk either. It's like the only, so with this 75 hard, part of it is eating a bunch of protein, and protein shakes with milk helps with that. So I'm going through a lot of milk, but the, like, finding milk that isn't just absolute garbage, the only milk available is garbage.
Well, you know what that tells me? Problem is the solution, nephew. Yep. So I know some folks down the road right now, one of them's running a food truck. We know him. He even has a YouTube channel. And maybe I'll just reach out to him because honestly, you know, that is the solution. Because yep. I know he needs my help on some things. So we'll see if we can't trade to get
the,
some.
The point on that, though, is that I think they're intentionally only leaving the bad choices left. The stuff that they've taken all the fat out and then they replaced it with some fake sucralose or whatever, put that in the milk or like filled with whatever kind of hormones. I think they're leaving only the bad ones, like intentionally leaving the bad options left. Because if you're, you know, eating crap and you recently got jabbed, you're more likely to have some issues.
Well, Ben Holt from Growing Up Holt lives down the road from us. And by the way, man, if y'all ever come across his food truck, man, we probably ought to get him on here. Man, he knocked your socks off of me and your mom. We found ourselves.
He knocked my socks off because y'all ate there.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you what, he has a food truck also, and he does it on the side. And we ran into him by complete accident. Your mom and I got wound up in a parade by accident, a Christmas parade. So instead of trying to fight our ways through it, we said, well, let's just stop and walk around. So we did. And sure enough, there's Ben over there running his food truck. Well, there's other options, and I'd rather have had barbecue at the time. I said, nah, man, I know this guy. I'm going to give him my money.
Yeah.
So I went over there, got a burger. So did your mom. And I'm telling you what, man, balling this food in this whole town. I mean, he's producing better food on that food truck than any meal I've ever had anywhere near Mars Hill.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Hey, okay, so somebody was asking, like, how do you become self-sufficient on the homestead? Grow food and start a restaurant in Mars Hill. Everybody will be there because there ain't nothing here.
No. And the options you do have aren't wonderful. That jacked up Mexican joint down there.
Man.
Come on, man. I know. I just ate Mexican food for almost 3 weeks, man.
They've got a tarp hanging from the front of the store. People are still going in.
Dude.
They're doing some kind of construction on the brick.
Man, I tell you what. I wish I'd have yanked up a couple of them vatos I was just dealing with out there in Arizona, man. Because I'm telling you what. I went back and told the people at Earthship.
Coming with me.
Dude, I told, dude, they were dropping these burritos. I was getting these. Okay, y'all. This, I'm going to give you the straight up truth. I was sitting there eating three burritos a day, and each one of them burritos was a pound a piece. I kid you not. So in the morning, I'd have this steak, egg, and cheese burrito, and it was the only food worth eating that I found around there, unless you wanted to go eat at McDonald's, and I'm not eating that. This place was open 24 hours a day, man. Steak, egg, and cheese burrito. At lunch, I'd have that carne asada burrito, and then at dinner, I'd have another carne asada. This time, I'm sitting here thinking, dude, I only maybe put on 5, maybe 10 pounds, but I should have put on 20.
No, with that hair, Dad, you did put on 20. Dad has this big old poof on the top of his head.
Yeah, man, I look like I ought to be shot out of a cannon wearing this hairdo.
I saw a silhouette this morning. It was like, you need a haircut.
Yeah, man, I need a haircut. That was the last thing I was worried about there, man. I need to get this stuff trimmed. I look like Chaco in Land of the Lost, man. Yeah, it's messed up. So, yeah, we spent a little more time in that segment than we wanted to, but we don't have a message from Pastor Lon today. I'm sure he's up to his eyeballs on a number of things, so we'll just switch into the bad news.
Well, they did find their cat. Their cat came back. The cat was, okay, so Mom was watching, I think, his live stream or the video, and he was in the middle of the live stream. This cat ran away January 8th, I think, and during the middle of the video, Miss Robbie Lynn, she pops up and was like, the cat's here. And the cat came back during the middle of the video, kind of like when Milk Boy came back in the middle of the Pimp Cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Nala comes busting through the door like Milk Boy's home. Yeah. It was the craziest thing. That dog is so intuitive, though. All right. Bad news, good news. All right. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the bad news, but I am going to talk about it. Oh, man, where do I even begin? So Germany sending over to Ukraine Leopard 2 tanks, and apparently we're sending in 31 M1A1 Abrams tanks, and apparently we already sent a bunch of Bradley fighting vehicles over there as well. Okay, here's what you're not going to hear from the prostitutes over at Fix News and CNN, MSNBC, and all the other prostitutes out there. Son, when I was getting ready to go get loaded up and leave yesterday, I made another bad mistake of turning on Fox News.
Yeah.
And they got that one polecat, General Jack Keane. Every time I see that, I can't even say it. Every time I see that guy on there, I want to strangle him. He's a former general, and typical of most of these, if you're a general, 9 times out of 10, you were a politician. In fact, in most cases, when you become a field grade officer, to a certain extent, you are a politician. There are some good ones. But this guy and all the other people, folks, I can't impress this upon you anymore. If you see them on network television, I promise you it is a 99% chance that they are in the employ of what Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex. In fact, in his first draft of that speech, Eisenhower wanted to call it the military-industrial-congressional complex. And they talked about, they pulled out the congressional part. But the point being, I hear this idiot, and he is an idiot. Just because you're a general doesn't mean you got all that you're just a good politician. Doesn't mean you're a good general. Every time I've seen this guy for as long as I can remember, all the reasons we ought to go to war. And then not long after that, that little polecat in South Carolina, Lindsey Graham's going on about how we need to send all this stuff over to Ukraine. Folks, here's what these idiots aren't telling you. The Russians, if you watch a little bit of Russian news and listen to what's coming out from the Russians, first of all, let me back up. Putin already drafted 1 million soldiers. Okay?
We don't have 1 million men.
He drafted 1 million soldiers. And again, he just drafted another 500,000 the other day. You don't do that. You don't put that. And they're telling all their people, they're saying, look, get ready, y'all. It's about to jump off. We told them the red line is this. First of all, 31 M1 tanks to a bunch of Ukrainians that have absolutely no training or very little. That's the equivalent of a battalion. You're going up against, what, 15 brigades? Or better, 5 divisions?
Or do they know how to operate? Do they know how to operate any of this? Is it like dropping a UFO off in Nevada?
it's exactly what it is, son. I mean, I'm sure they give them some degree of training, but these tankers, man, they go through a lot of training. And these tanks are very sophisticated things. Also, the other armaments we're sending over there, look, I'm going to tell you straight, and I promised I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time on this, but the powers that shouldn't be in this country are doing everything because they know the whole economy is about to fall out. And like Gerald Celente says, like I told you last time, when all else fails, they take you to war. And here we are. They are doing everything they can to start World War III. And that is not hyperbole. This is why we're making some of the changes. Well, it's not because of that. I saw this coming a long time ago. And we were already making preparations for it in so many different ways. We'll talk more about that in the future. But folks, I cannot impress upon you. I could go on, believe me, I could do the entire show and monologue about all the things going on in this thing. But when I turned on those prostitutes at Fix News and I heard all this, and I'm like, not even a host is, offering a rebuttal, like saying, wait, excuse me? We're doing what? Yeah. You got all this money to send over Ukraine, but grandmas are out there flipping coins trying to figure out whether or not they're going to take their heart medication or eat for the day. And you wonder why I'm pissed off about what's going on in Ukraine? All right, I'm going to move on to good news. All right. Well, first good news right off the bat, y'all. Saturday, March 4th in Greer, South Carolina. Guess what? The folks at Farm Where You Live are putting on another event. You're going to want to go to it. This is good news because so many people are hitting me up asking emails, when are you going to do the next butchery? Well, I'm not, but Ben Holler is, and he's every bit as good as I am, probably even better in so many ways. The Holler family is going to be putting it on. Meg's going to be helping out too. And I talked to Ben yesterday for a little while, and Looks like I'm going to be his backup dancer. So Ben's in charge of this whole thing, and he's Michael and I'm Tito.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
He's Michael, I'm Tito. I'm just going to sit back there and be his assistant. So anybody that was wondering how you can go ahead and get tickets for that, we're going to leave a link down below. And remember, you get 10% off with promo code PIMP. And
remember, promo code PIMP.
That's right. PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion, but that is also the promo code. So that is really good news. And I mean that, y'all, because look, I don't get paid anything for this. I don't get anything out of it. I'm reaching out to all you people because, frankly, we are going to be processing animals here on the farm, but I can't have a bunch of folks here right now. Just can't do it. I know a lot of folks want to come, but I cannot handle that right now for a bunch of reasons that I can't discuss at the present moment. But there is this event, and it's going to be happening on, like I said, Saturday, March 3rd, promo code PIMP. It's going to be at the Red Dutch Barn, and we're going to leave a link down below. And Josh and Megan over at Farm Where You Live, man, they're fantastic people.
Yeah. April 24th, I'll be teaching a permaculture design intro class at their one in Asheville.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm also going to be doing something there as well. And that's another thing, son. From now on, we're not doing any. If you're more than a couple hours away, we're just not going to do the event for the foreseeable future.
I mean,
I need enough gas in that tank for that EMP shield to get me back to the crib. Yeah. Yeah, I need every bit of gas. I can't be floating on E, y'all.
Yeah. Hey, I have a good news story. So Emily, there was this one patient she had. She's a NICU nurse, y'all. She had this one patient on palliative care, which if you don't know what palliative care is, it's basically like we can do nothing except provide like comfort while this, you know, baby dies, basically. But the issue with there's a bunch of issues with it, but one of the issues with palliative care is that some parents like start wasting away during that process and they don't worry about eating or anything like that. And when they do eat, it's just the crappy, you know, hospital cafeteria food. Well, Emily talked with our church, was it last weekend or whatever? And then set up a fund for palliative care parents. So they don't even have to think about food. Food is just brought to them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and is squared away for them. So they can actually get good actual meals while they're going through the worst period of, you know, in their life. But the cool thing about this is that we have found a church that is willing to do something. They are willing. They are trying to reconquer Asheville.
How about that?
Yeah,
man, that's awesome. That's awesome. I got great kids, don't I, folks? Yeah. So, how cool is that, son? That is good news. But I'm going to add on top of it. So for that one bad news, we're going to give three. That's good news. That's two. I'll give three. Well, check this one out, man. Project Veritas busts Jordan Walker. He works for Pfizer. About how Pfizer is intentionally mutating viruses. And if you go to Project Veritas and check this out, y'all, you're not going to believe what you see. I guarantee it. He's in there joking around about all this and that. I mean, these people are downright sociopaths.
If you knew what was going on in the NICU, Dad, he is not, it is not hyperbole, he is not wrong.
It had my jaw on the doggone floor when I watched this sociopath laughing, kidding around, talking about how they're going to mutate this and how it's really good for Pfizer, not so good for the American people, ha, 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 going on about this. And I'm telling you what, if I was sitting on the other side of that table, I'd have drop kicked him right out that front door. I mean,
think it wouldn't have stopped at that.
Yeah, I'd have chokeslammed him right there. I mean, there's just certain things in this world, folks, that we just can't tolerate anymore. Right there, you have opened. Project Veritas has dropped so many tactical nukes of information out there. In fact, you want to get some good, reliable news? Go check out Project Veritas. They've broken more stories that it should have turned this country upside down if we were still an ethical country anymore. And still, everybody yawns. I mean, like that other one where they talked about that doctor, this female abortion doctor, talking about she's eating her salad, say, yeah, I want to, you know, we snip these children up and blah, blah, blah. I can do a process that's not so crunchy. I wanted to sit here. I am not a violent person. I'm not a violent person. But, man, when you start fooling around with kids, you start messing around with the old folks, You start messing around with people that can't help them, that cannot help themselves. And all I can think about is how badly I want to put you through a 5-minute flurry of fists. And when I see this little marchy on the other side of that table, laughing, joking about how they're mutating this stuff and how they can't officially call it, I can't even think of the name, where you make a virus more deadly.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a name for it, but I can't recall what it is. And then he plays semantics about how they're doing this. How much information? People like Karen Kingston.
Hey, Dad, this was supposed to be good news. The good news segment.
Yeah. Well, the good news is,
good news is they're snitching on themselves.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that Project Veritas busted them again. Yeah, I'm glad you caught me, son, because I'm about to come off the rails.
You know
again.
What's the most frustrating part about this? Is that all this information can be found out with a honeypot. Yeah. Just get these people to go on a date with a hot woman and they just spill the beans. Like, these are the people that got in, like, these simps got in control? These people?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
who got hired?
Yeah, but son, you know, here's the funny thing about it. This little Marchie was being busted by a dude. So it was a dude on the other side of the table. Look, I'm as liberty minded as you get. You wanna do whatever you gotta do, man. You start messing with kids and animals, and you know, we got problems. And I honestly don't endorse anything you're doing, but I'm not down that way. And but anyway, it was a dude on the other side of the table. But this sociopath is sitting here saying this, and I'm like, boom, busted again. And he's an executive at Pfizer. You got people like Karen Kingston dropping tactical nukes every other day on Stu Peter's show. And still, I don't know. I know what it's going to take to wake America up. And sadly, it's happening. But you know what? That's good news as far as I'm concerned. Boy, that's a jam, and true today as it ever was.
Yeah, I always think of Rush Hour whenever I hear that song.
I know, man. That's the problem with when they put good music in a movie or something, is that it's always, you'll always go back to think of that movie. But if you were really thinking the words, like there's one part in the song where it says, they tell us we fight to keep our freedom, but Lord knows there's got to be another way. And it's exactly the same garbage they've been recycling for time immemorial. They've been doing it forever and a day. And like the fourth turning says, by the time those 80 years are up, you know, the people that should have known no longer know because it wasn't passed down. And that was one of the benefits of some of the, you know, the tribes from way back. They had a verbal
oral history. Yeah.
Yeah. So because of that oral history and they passed it down sometime in song and everything, they were less likely to fall into those cycles.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty awesome thing. All right. Well, okay, son. Now I was about to go off the rails again, bro, but I'm glad you kind of reeled me back in. All right. So let me get down to it, y'all. I don't even know where to start this because it's always been this way for me. The topic of this one is going to be always act like you're being paid, even if you're the one paying to get the training.
You mean work like you're being paid?
Yes.
Always work like you're being paid.
Always work like you're being paid. People are going to say a lot of things about me throughout my life, but being lazy ain't one of them. I can promise you that. Of course, you're going to, you know, I got my faults as well, like everybody does. Okay, let me break this down. I signed up, and I think it cost me, and I didn't realize at the time that I didn't have to pay because I wasn't an Earthship student.
Oh, yeah.
But for the field study, you know, they charged, what, $550 to be a part of this Earthship build. So I paid it. And then, of course, the expense of getting out there, this ain't cheap, you know, to fly and then a rental car for almost 3 weeks, lodging. And, you know, and the whole time not getting any kind of sleep because I live in a very quiet place. And now all of a sudden I find myself in a very loud place.
Yeah.
At least in that town of Safford where I was staying. So I'd drive out there every day to the job. So here's what I'm getting at. And I'm going to go into greater detail here. Look, when I showed up on that job, like every other job, it's like you work 10 times harder. You ever notice you work 10 times harder for volunteer work than you ever do for jobs you get paid for?
Yeah, yeah.
It's always the volunteer work, you work 10 times harder. And so I ramped it up even more. I made up in my mind when I went there, I'm going to do what I always do. I don't care if it's a Habitat for Humanity house. I've done many of those. Christmas in October, I've done many of those. I mean, a lot of volunteerism has always been a big part of my life for as long as I can remember. And a number of other things I don't even talk about. But every single time you work 10 times harder for the things you don't get paid for. And better still, even if you have to pay to be there, just like, okay, like the butchering class I was just talking about.
Yeah.
You find out that, and you got to charge something. And honestly, the price of that butchering course is insane low for what you're going to learn and get out of it. And you're going to see the whole process. So it's extremely low. When you get out there and you make yourself a hand, believe me, every one of the people out there, Earthship, man, they pulled me aside. And I can't begin to tell you how good it felt for them to say, man, you really made a hand out here.
Well, they also go out of their way to teach. Like, it's always easier to teach someone who's wanting to learn. It's not fun, and it's difficult to teach someone who doesn't want to learn.
Well, there was a couple of times. That's a good point, because there was a couple of times I'm doing, like, a task that I'm already pretty good at. Like I told you, first 3 days I'm pounding tires, didn't complain, didn't do nothing, took no breaks, and I'm showing them I'm here to work, I'm here to learn. Okay, 3 days of pounding tires, I was pretty darn good at it. I guess you can say I'm an expert. But there is a technique to it, as you well know, because you've been to the academy.
Yeah.
And then they moved me on to something else. Well, here's what I pull away from it. Son, I was telling Ben Holler, I didn't know how to frame a house. I know how to do it now. because I'm already a journeyman electrician, so carpentry is kind of a cousin. I'm not a carpenter, but I'm a journeyman electrician.
Yeah.
So I understand angles. I understand a level. I understand plumb. I understand all these things. So these are not fundamentals that I need to learn. So these guys are letting me work with them hand in hand. In fact, they're saying, hey, come on up here. I want to show you something, even though I'm working on another project.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, I'm up here putting in the trusses, and I'm realizing, okay, so the trusses are on. How do we make sure everything is good to go on these trusses? So there's little tricks that I learned along the way to when I do it. But they wouldn't have gone out of their way to do it, because every single time I asked about anything, they stopped everything they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They addressed it, and then we moved on. And then when it came to doing the decking, I was in charge of putting the decking on that roof. I never decked a plate. Well, that's not true, because I used to be a roofer in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I was working with these old boys from, I mean, I'm not sure. Knowing, looking back at it, what I learned then and what I learned now, I learned from much, much better people and experts here. So all the things that the bad ways of how to deck a roof, you know, I did it wrong. And so I learned how to do it right. So next thing I know, they had me up there running two other guys, showing them how to do it.
That's
and
cool.
So you learn it even more. So every aspect where it was putting up the walls, pounding the tires, putting the headers up, the trusses, the decking. And now I got Miracle, my tool buddy back there. She's sending me pictures of all the other things that I knew had to happen.
Yeah.
But she's sending me specifics of how it happened. So,
like, what did you miss out on that? Just briefly, what did you miss out on?
Well, I missed out on to finish putting the polyiso all over the building and then around back.
So, like, the insulation?
The foam. Yeah, yeah, the foam insulation.
Okay.
And then that's all covered with plastic. And then there's little intricacies on top of the roof where you put up some purlins and stuff. And then you're going to attach your roofing material to that.
Okay.
And so these are things I already knew how to do anyway. Like I said, I used to roof. You know, that's what I did for my summer job. But it was learning all these other skills, and man, these guys, and then I'd go out of my way. Like one day up to get Galen, I knew he was busy, to get his attention, I gave him a burrito. So I picked up a burrito and I was like, okay, got his attention. And then second to the last day I was there, the foreman out there, Gunner, I only ate half of this one carne asada burrito. And I said, hey man, I didn't like chew it down. You know, I cut it in half. And I said, hey, man, you want this other half? I can't eat it, dude. He says, yeah, man, I'll eat it. Dude, he ate that burrito. He says, he comes yelling out there. He said, this is the best blanking thing I've eaten since I've been here. I said, dude, I've been eating these things for almost 3 weeks now. I've been telling y'all. And he's like, dude, I'm eating there every single day from here on out. I was like, dude, I told you. So anyway, I wasn't in here cheesing up to these people. I am thankful that they went out of their way to show me all this wonderful stuff. And I am deeply, eternally thankful that they took the time to teach me this stuff. So like I was telling Ben, I was like, man, I have no doubt in my mind, son. I have zero. I looked at the prints before and I knew I could probably muddle my way through it before. Mm-hmm. But having put my hands on it, I got absolutely no doubt, 100% without a doubt, that we can do this.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's good.
And it's a very forgiving structure, you know. But the point of it that I'm really trying to convey here, y'all, is if you're going to spend money to go to any of this kind of training, and I don't care if it's a butchery class, I don't care whatever it is, if you really, truly want the information, you go out there and act like you're being paid $200 an hour to do this work. In fact, ask anybody who works around me. That's exactly what I do. When I go to these festivals, I'm not being paid for it. 9 times out of 10, I mean, well, that's not entirely true. There have been times I have
actually don't behave as if you're being paid $200 an hour to work. Act as if you have a job offer that pays $200 an hour if you get the job, and here's your opportunity to show yourself.
That's a really, really good way of looking at it, son. And when we go to these things, it's always, like I said before, it's always a little bit aggravating. But I always look at it as if, man, you know, these are people that I'm never going to be, you know, I may not ever see them again. Yeah. And they came out here and I want to make sure I deliver everything I possibly can. As you know, when we get done with these things, I'm completely exhausted. I mean, I'm on my bicycle the whole time and I'm trying to live up to the ethic that I'm telling everybody about here. And I know other folks that do the very same thing. And in fact, if you go to that butchery class out there, you're going to find out the very same thing. I work and I work hard. And this isn't some show. I mean, I'm not out there just putting on a show. This is what we do every single day because I'm doing what I love. And so when you find yourself on these projects, put, you know, the old cliche, put 110% in it. No, I'm going to tell you, put 220% into it. I really mean that. Go out there, make yourself a hand. Make yourself memorable. And you know what really was the icing on the cake?
What?
Is when Robert came out, he was one of the locals around there that works at the mine.
Oh, yeah.
He came out on his 2 days off, showed up on this project, and my man worked every bit as hard as I did, maybe even harder. So he
came out and represented for the permaculture crowd.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. They were so thankful to have him. Man, he's out there. I mean, it was cold. He was in a t-shirt. I don't know how he did that, but I mean,
he didn't look like he got cold, Dad.
Nah, dude, he didn't get cold at all, man. He's used to that environment.
He doesn't feel temperature or pressure.
No, he's good, man. He's good all the way around. Dude, he's a miner, man. What do you expect?
He's tough.
That dude's as hard as 3 times 9, man. But he came out there and he was like, oh, yeah, he laid it down, dude. And I was so thankful to have him. And then there was another girl that came from Philly. You know, she did the same thing. So, folks, if you want, and I feel that same way, too, you know when somebody's just out there just trying to mark the box or whatever, you know, yeah. You're just here because of whatever. If I know you're here legitimately to learn this and I see your enthusiasm, I'm going to go out of my way to show you even more than you thought. Because a lot of times there are so many of us that go to these things and it's more like a social suck-up session. And you find people that aren't really, really after trying to get work done.
With that crowd specifically, there's a lot of college students that go there for the internship or the field study or whatever just to tick a box off for college.
Yeah.
They really could care less about Earthships. They just like picked the easiest option for their internship box that they had to check off.
Yeah, that is a pretty good point there as well. And you find a number of others also, man, that are there to lay it down. Yeah. I made some friends out there and people I can't wait to see. One of them, you know, lives kind of close, man. His name is Will. He's over there near Nashville. So I'm looking forward to seeing him again. But folks, put foot to butt for everything and anything you want to learn.
They're only pawns in your play of power and corruption. Slowly starve them your new weapon of mass destruction. And prove to me, America, that you care. And prove to me, America, you're aware. Who's dying for your freedom?
Yeah, sorry about the macabre nature of that one, but I had to keep a theme to the song music here based on what was in the news.
Yeah, Dad, what on? I thought about just switching it up on for that song.
Well, how do you find an upbeat song? War is the only upbeat war song I know about. Well,
Dad, if I go to Spotify and I put in war music, nothing like that pops up. Nothing like that.
Well, there's a theme in that song, man. It really, really fits. So, yeah, forgive me, folks. It was a little bit too sad. All right, so we're going to get into the Q&A thing. This one's a little lengthy, and it's from Susie. Meant to get to it last time. Sorry about that. It was weird and disjointed being in two different places, but now that we're back in the saddle, it's going to go a little bit better. Okay, so she's got some, she's done a lot of cool things with Comfrey. She says, I'm a little concerned to see how the roots are trailing several feet into the vegetable gardens and popping up. I don't understand. If that's bocking number four, it shouldn't.
Yeah, bocking number 14. It shouldn't be doing that. The roots will, like, they will reach pretty far, especially if you have, like, loose soil. They will reach pretty far, but they should not pop back up.
No.
That's not how they propagate.
No. You definitely don't have the Comfrey we sell. And I don't think she said she did, but, as far as reaching in there, now, one thing we have known is that when we have companion planted Comfrey, we've heard all those horror stories, remember in the past, about don't put Comfrey here, don't put it there, man. We put it
everywhere.
In the closest proximity you can imagine. And it's been, I mean, the worst thing it has ever done to another plant is might have shaded it out.
It may have shaded it out or like outcompeted the above soil area. But as far as like under the ground, like we have it up against trees, it doesn't damage the tree. The only part that might potentially damage the tree is if you try to dig it up and harvest the Comfrey, and then you might chop up some of the tree roots, depending on the proximity. But like the Comfrey itself has never damaged, and we even had it grow next to sweet potatoes and maybe regular potatoes. I can't remember.
No, yeah, it was sweet potatoes, and I gotta say, had we cared after that thing a little bit better, I think it would have been a total success.
But they didn't damage the actual tubers at all.
Not at all.
No.
It was like it grew around everything, and it was like
it all kind of worked.
Yeah. Because, you know, with the sweet potatoes, you're going to be digging them up anyhow. So we're like, okay, we'll dig up the sweet potatoes and the Comfrey root at the same time. But we've never seen a negative effect on anything Comfrey has ever been planted by. And we planted it by everything I could think of.
Yeah.
So, you may not have... You might have a different strain there. Even if it's stretching out like that, it's usually not a problem.
Actually, by this point, we've planted everything by Comfrey because the Comfrey was there first at this point.
Oh, you got that right. You got anything?
Yep. This is from Libertas 91. On the music front, Tom Coyle's Stasi State is a counter-narrative go-to. Hashtag write that book, Billy. Have you heard that? Tom Doyle?
No.
Yeah. Apparently that's somebody in a song to check out. Tom Coyle, Stasi State, Stasi State. All right,
we have to look into that one.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, this one, greetings. This is from Molly. Greetings, William and Billy, and all the lovely ladies that support you too. Thank you so much. I've been a loyal listener to the Pimp Cast since day one. Coming from a background very similar to Billy's, I can't tell you how much this Pimp Cast has meant to me. I recently purchased Billy's Bone Sauce. Question is, can I apply it to muscadine or scupperdong vines? Okay, well, thank you so much, and I'm sorry that you had a weird background. I guess nobody can say it wasn't entertaining. Yeah,
what specifically did you guys relate to?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know, but I imagine it wasn't fun. It wouldn't, you know, but at least it was interesting. You know, nobody can say you had a boring life. So, you know, as far as your question there, Molly, and thank you so much for the kind words. I don't know that I've ever seen deer mess with anything like that.
Yeah, they will. I've
seen them wipe it out.
You could definitely apply it though.
Well,
I would apply it to
the vine.
I don't know,
let's just put a disclaimer in there.
Yeah, that wasn't done.
Okay.
I would apply it to the old part of the vine. The part that you're not going to trim back every year. Also maybe try applying it to the trellis itself. Because with those muscadines, I don't know how often you're pruning or whatever, but you don't want to apply it to any of the green parts of the plant. You want to apply it to the hard woody parts that don't have any buds or anything like that growing.
Yeah, I would, or whatever, like you said, whatever it's attached to.
Yeah.
That might be a little bit painstaking, but thank you so much for your purchase. And by the way, folks, I know a lot of people are wanting bone sauce right now. Haven't been here to make it, so and I'm not going to rush the process, so I'm very sorry about that. But I am not going to cut any corners, and if I can't, conditions are, they got to be perfect to be able to make this stuff. It's a very laborious process, very hard to make, very hard to get right. And so it's probably going to be another week before we get more out.
I got this from Mirlin. Good night. Saying it was a good night, not saying good night. I literally just got chills when you played Joe Satriani at your break. I nearly have all of his albums and listen to them almost exclusively. My mind is repeatedly blown by your content. So much great information. Next time you talk to John at SOE, ask him about Way of the Gun, his term for Brothers Company. Thanks again for all you do, James Markle.
Bam. What did I tell you, man? Everybody loves Satriani.
Hey, James, how old are you, buddy?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
James knows what time it is. Yeah. Thanks, James. Everybody loves Satriani. This one here comes from Ann. Hey, y'all. I was told that y'all sell Comfrey Roots. The site stays sold out. Any idea when you're going to have some again? We're hoping by the end of March. We're open by end of March. Now, we could be digging it up all year long if we wanted, but it would be kind of raping the environment, which is exactly what we don't want to do. So, yeah, we're hoping by the end of March. And folks, I know there's a lot of things sold out right now, but I think we got some rice knives.
Yeah, we have rice knives. We have Comfrey Salve. That's on the website. But it's going to be a while on the Comfrey Roots and not too much longer on the bone sauce, right?
Yeah. Yep. Going to be about a week, I think.
I got a couple of comments from Strider, but they all are related to each other. Thank you guys. Made my day. # tip a pimp. And he was the one that commented, the rich dad. My poor dad told me to steer clear from a pimp. My rich dad told me to tip a pimp. And I told him he won a knife. His phone glitched and he boosted us twice. And then he commented saying, haha, phone glitched and boosted twice. # tipped both pimps.
Bam. Well, thanks a million, my man. Yeah. All right. We got one from Paul here. And logistical question. This is about the chicken tractor on steroids. He says, maybe I'm overthinking it. Do food scraps from restaurants have to be collected, fed daily, or can they be collected once or twice a week? That's a really good play. Really good thing. This time of year, when it's nice and cold out, you got a lot more life than you realize. Sometimes you can take it up to a week long. I try to do it, you know, twice weekly, but in this kind of weather, it can keep up for quite a while. In fact, some of your problems may be, depending on where you store it, it could be freezing. So that's kind of tough to measure it out and feed it to your chickens. He's asking if there's any danger of botulism. I mean, not that I'm aware of, because we've been doing this a long, long time and never had any problems, not with the chicken tractor on steroids.
The only time I've ever heard of an issue with botulism was whenever it was at Jeff Lawton's farm. Somebody killed a snake and then it decomposed for a little bit and then one of the chickens ate it. And then that chicken died supposedly from botulism.
Well, anything we feed those chickens is usually usually going to be cooked.
But it was a snake and it had like decomposed for a little bit, and who even knows what environment? That's my point.
Well, the thing is, when chickens have an alternative to something they want to eat, that usually almost never happens.
Yeah.
Especially in the chicken tractor on steroid system, they usually have so much food in there that we usually supply a majority of their carbs and they get all their protein out of they eat the microorganisms in the pile. They got to work for it. There's no two ways about that.
Yeah.
And we've never had any problems. If anything, everything about those birds improves.
Oh yeah.
In fact, somebody asked a while back about dust bath. She was having problems with the chickens, and maybe that question's still in here. We found out in that chicken tractor on steroids, whatever ailments these birds have were typically made right, because they'll make a dust bath right there in the compost pile.
Whatever ailments, really. If it's like low egg production, it gets fixed in the chicken tractor on steroids. If they're having an issue with mites, if they're having an issue with their feathers, really all the issues get resolved in the chicken tractor on steroids. I got one from Yahweh's Farmstead. Howdy, brothers. Is there a tree too big to pollard? Also, if there is branches below where I cut the tree, should I remove those branches? # pimping ain't easy.
Bam. It's a contact sport. And I'd like to show it on that sucker from Pfizer, too.
Say it's a habit.
Not that I'm aware of, man.
It's a contact sport.
Yeah. What? It's a contact sport when you're dealing with them idiots from Pfizer. I'm going to elevate that pimp hand and unleash. I'm even going to open my fingers up to reduce drag, son. Bam. Just to even, what did the five fingers say to the face? Slap. Anyway, yeah, when it comes to pollarding.
Is there a tree too big?
I don't think there is, and here's why.
Because, I was just thinking that what today. I'm saying too. Yeah. The trees we just cut down. Also that black locust over there.
Exactly.
That thing was massive, and it did very well as far as like bringing back saplings for us.
We took a tree that was almost 2 feet in diameter, cut it down, and it's still growing.
Well, I was just thinking those trees that we cut down for silva pasture. That's going to be a lot of good stuff for tree hay this year.
Absolutely.
He also said, if there are branches below where I cut the tree, should I remove those branches?
I don't think so.
If he's pollarding.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If it's pollarding, yeah. Just watched a video of Jeff Lawton on his pollarding, and he removed everything from down. Yep. And I did the same exact thing. I don't know that you have to, but I do. I basically got a pole sticking out there with some of these black locusts, and I guarantee they're going to come back.
Your goal is to create almost an umbrella effect.
Right.
Not to, so you don't want branches, like you're cutting it about head height or above head height to create that umbrella. So if you have branches that are below that head height, then they're within your working space.
Yeah, so they're going to be a problem, yeah.
If that kind of makes sense. If you're thinking of it as, hopefully that makes sense.
I try to get rid of anything that that's gonna wind up slapping me in the face.
Yeah,
that's typically what I do. But I don't. Some of these trees, man, you got to really, really stay on them if you want to really take them out. I mean, some of these, a lot of mimosas and stuff like that, they're gonna constantly come back unless you outcompete them.
We should also clarify, we're not talking about like these aren't things that you would do with your fruit trees.
No.
This is not a technique you would do with your fruit trees, guys. This is for like your nitrogen fixers species.
We got this one from Angie. In fact, I think I jumped ahead of this. She was talking about the mites and she's done DE several times a day. I kind of got ahead of this question here. And she's talking about, I basically told her, look, we do pretty much, or at least I thought I did. She had talked about using depleted uranium, I hope not depleted diatomaceous earth. She said DE and I read DU. I hope you're not using that depleted uranium. That's what they're going to be putting in those M1 tanks. Yeah, the mites and the chickens. So, don't use DU. So the DE, wood ash and all that stuff, she's tried that. The only thing, genetically, if I see a chicken that's, having real problems like that, well, it's not one I'm going to keep around anyway, especially if they're in a holistic environment, a really good environment. But what we have found out, we've seen chickens down to almost no feathers in that environment come completely back. I mean, Jeff Lawton is a doggone genius, y'all. We've seen recoveries in birds that should not have happened.
And if you're having like an incessant like mite problem, he has I think he has a video where he talks about his recipe for a dust bath. But the base of his is sulfur. He uses sulfur for his dust bath because there was like a really bad mite issue when I first got there.
She even talked about garden sulfur in this email. We found out that in this chicken tractor on steroids, that pretty much all ailments, I'm not saying it's a fountain of youth, y'all, but it's about the best thing I've ever seen for a chicken because we've had some birds and they were really, they were not looking good.
No.
We put them in that environment, got all the feathers back. Everything worked out good. The behavior of that one rooster I had to wind up putting in the pot.
Yeah.
His came back. Everything turned out for the better. It's like
hold on. His came back before he made it to the pot, y'all.
Yeah.
He didn't come back to life.
Yeah, I hope
it ain't
not.
That good.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that who knows what that depleted uranium can do.
I got one from Eric Sider. As far as business ideas, think about what's not available locally that you can offer. We've basically got sucked into free Amazon shipping mentality, but costs and service interruptions will probably continue to be an issue, especially things that are heavy or bulky or hard to ship. That's a good point.
Man, Eric always makes a fantastic point, y'all. That's why we tell you, if you have any, this guy eats, sleeps, breathes, drinks, snores permaculture. This is why we say, look, if you have any kind of consultation needs, this is why you want to hit up Eric. Go check out his YouTube channel. Also makes, William, you got one of his shirts on right now, and yeah. I got on the other one.
A nitrogen fixture, and you got a Bill Mollison quote.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you need a ballin' sweatshirt.
Well, also like half my wardrobe.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, mine too, dude. Everything I, in fact, every single day out there on that job, they were waiting every single day when you were still able to kind of get down to a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Every single day, they were anxiously waiting to see what shirt I was going to have on, because I had nothing but Eric shirts out there, and they're the biggest conversation starter ever. So if you want one of those, you want the most ballin'est shirts out there, folks, and you need a consultation, hit him up. You'd be surprised what he can do electronically.
They're also good quality shirts too, though. Like, the print lasts a long time. Like, I wear the crap out of some t-shirts, and they'd last a long time. They don't really, unless you accidentally cut yourself, they don't really get any holes or anything like that.
Man, we put a shirt through some beatings here.
Yeah.
All right, I got one from Cody. He was asking about the Earthship, and he says, my question on Earthships is, do they have angled windows? Well, not in the latest versions, they don't. Not in the one I just put in. They were all vertical.
Yeah, they used to, and I think in some environments they still might, like far north or very, very far south. But I think all the new models have vertical glass. I don't think they angle any of them anymore.
Yeah, part of it has to do with the fact that, yeah, you don't want your stuff rotting out, you know. I was looking at it. Okay, so here we are in the middle of winter, right?
Yeah.
And we're in the Arizona desert, in the Sonoran desert. And I'm watching how the sun is tracking through this Earthship after the walls, the outside walls and then the inside walls were put up. And I'm like, good night, man. This is fantastic design, because it went far enough to cover every single thing in that greenhouse as it tracks through the day. And then the beauty about it is when, you know, in the summer when the sun's high in the sky, that greenhouse becomes the draw to suck in the cold air from underground and pull it through the house.
Yeah.
I mean, fantastic design, man. You can't beat it. Well, I got one here.
It's a self-regulating house. It self-regulates the temperature.
Yeah, it's never above or below 70, pretty much.
Yeah.
So we got this one from James. Man, dude, this one about knocked me over. And I heard Mike Adams talk about it, too. It's from Christianity Daily, Mad Science. Researchers now putting COVID mRNA vaccines in the vegetables to vaccinate the unvaccinated. Folks, see again why we do this show? See why we're saying grow everything you can? Deal with your neighbors. Okay, we can't find milk. Well, I'm going to go down to the street to a guy that I know it has a cow, and we're going to see if we can't trade, because I know we can. I got things he needs. He has something I need. There's people around you making cheese. There's people around you doing all kinds of really cool stuff. You know, a lot of the nuns, they weren't nuns, but a lot of the, I guess they called themselves sisters.
Yeah.
In that monastery, they make a lot of that kind of stuff, you know, value-added products, man, that are fantastic, second to none.
Yeah.
Forgive the pun there. There's this nun I saw in a show on Netflix a while back. She was a PhD in making the best cheese on planet Earth. And it was all happening in a convent. So look at some of those off the beaten path kind of places, and you'd be shocked at what you're able to find out there. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for this. Apparently, I got the wrong number there. Okay, that's going to do it for us today. Till next time, y'all. Stay alert.
Stay alive.